Hey, what's up? This is Chris Gray, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
ZFM Stereo. 24/7. ZFM Stereo.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise. Argentina, champions of the world, and the nation will.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James at the worst is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that.
Let me finish.
Let you finish. I'll let you talk.
Every weekday, it's my sport. It's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
ZFM Sport on Top Hit Tuesday. Don't miss out on our musical interludes, the power play, as well as the play of the day, courtesy of DJ Baz. His picks have been on point all year. Can he maintain it until the end of season 2025? That is the question you need to answer, and you can do that on 0772-168-045, because we love to keep it interactive here on your favorite sports show. On the home front today, as far as the sports stories are concerned, Zimbabwe have announced a 16-man squad for the two-match one-day international series against Sri Lanka, with bowler Ernest Masuku on the brink of his first international cap. And in the studio to discuss that story and others is Chris Meadzi, Barry Manandi, our producer Sean Tafirinyika, and my name is Mike Madoda.
We have our staple on a Tuesday. That's the Formula One report, proudly brought to you by Zumoco, where Ferrari team principal, that's Fred Vasseur, has admitted that he and Lewis Hamilton stupidly underestimated the challenge this season. And around the world in 60, we'll have updates from Sydney, Nairobi, California, and New York.
In the beautiful game, Madagascar and Sudan are currently battling it out for a place in the final of CHAN in Dar es Salaam. About 70 minutes played in that game. And then later on tonight, Morocco will take on Senegal. We'll give you an update as to what's happening in that game, Madagascar versus Sudan. It's currently nil all, and as I say, about 80 minutes played, actually, in that game, and could be going to extra time. However, Madagascar has just been given a red card and are down to 10 men. We also have updates from Serie A, the Bundesliga, and the Premier League, where Liverpool manager Arne Slot praised his players' mental fortitude after their win against Newcastle.
Hi, this is Benjamin Locke. I'm on the Zimbabwe Davis Cup team, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Keeping an eye on that semi-final game between Madagascar and Sudan. Madagascar down to 10 men with a little over 10 minutes to play in that game. They seem to be holding firm as Sudan attack. This one could be headed for extra time, and possibly, if Malagasy are valiant enough, to a penalty shootout. So we'll be keeping you updated about that match. We're going to be talking a bit about the cricket in a moment, the squad that's been announced for the ODI series versus the Lions of Sri Lanka. Just a reminder of our interactive platform, which is WhatsApp 0772-168-045. Across all socials, simply search for at ZFM Sport.
ZFM Stereo is untouchable. The Warriors, the Chevrons, the Cheetahs, the Mighty Warriors, and the Sables. From the pool to the track to the field, we are Team Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe cricket have announced a 16-man squad for the two-match one-day international series against Sri Lanka, with bowler Ernest Masuku on the brink of his first international cap. The Tuskers Seema has been one of the most reliable quicks in domestic cricket, carrying a List A average of 23.48. His call-up follows a superb Pro 50 championship campaign where he averaged 19 with the ball and collected 14 wickets in just 6 innings. Running through that squad for you to take on Sri Lanka, the captain Craig Irvin will be joined by Brian Bennett, Jonathan Campbell, Ben Curran, Brad Evans, Trevor Gwandu, Wesley Madevere, Clive Madandim, Ernest Masuku, Tony Munyonga, Blessing Muzarabani, Richard Ngarava, Newman Nyamuri, Sikandar Razabat, Brendan Taylor and Sean Williams. And there is a bit of hope among fans that the white ball series against Sri Lanka, which consists of 2 one-day internationals and 3 T20 internationals, will bring better fortunes for the Chevrons. And is that reflected, Barry, in the selections? Do you see enough quality, enough experience, enough youthful exuberance for us to try and get some results in the series?
The only thing I don't see, obviously, is the youthful exuberance, because
yeah.
I think we've got some mature players coming back in. Good to see Masuku selected.
Like Jonathan Campbell is in there, yeah, Brian Bennett, enough. We've got some green ones in there.
There are a lot of young players coming through.
There
are indeed. It's Masuku who excites me big time. He's 32, fine, late bloomer, but he is a wicket-taking machine. Only weeks ago, he took phenomenal. He put up some phenomenal numbers against Scotland 11 for Zim A. He claimed 9 wickets in 2 games, including a career best 7 for 35. He tore through Scotland's batting order to set up an 8-wicket victory for Zim A. So, phenomenal bowler in Ernest Masuku. Hopefully, he will get his debut quite long in the tooth, or late in life, as it were, at 32, but it's never too late. Good to see Brad Evans also come back. He is a handy bowler as well, and also can do a job with the bat. The inclusion of Tony Munyonga, exciting. Clive Madande as well, I think quite good. So I think, yes, exciting generally.
Absolutely.
In terms of selection.
And we've got Brendan Taylor as well. He's back in white ball cricket, Chris, and he'll be expected to bring the experience, especially in that upper batting order.
Yeah, definitely. He last played ODIs in 2021, and that was before retiring, and later obviously serving that 3.5-year suspension for breaching the ICC anti-corruption code. So it's good to have him back. We've also got Craig Irvine there as well. He's captain, of course, and I think we've got a good infusion of, I think, all of our best talents. Sean Williams, Sikandar Raza in the middle order there. Then obviously, definitely on the bowling lineup, you need your Blessing Mzarabani and Richard Ngarava there. So I think in terms of strength, they've gone for possibly what can be called our full strength side. If there's a name that they could have called on, I think in this side they've called on it.
Well, head coach Justin Sammons is quoted as saying, "We've just come off a tough red ball series and now it's about adjusting to the tempo and intensity of one day cricket. Sri Lanka are a strong white ball side and will punish any lapses, so we need to be sharp from ball one. Clarity in roles will be key. Each player must understand exactly what's required. Get that right and I believe we can compete strongly." He's saying all the right things, isn't he?
He is indeed, and the fact that he's talking about a change in mentality between sort of test cricket, red ball cricket, to white ball intensity, executing, not making many mistakes because mistakes will get punished. I think he's certainly making all the right noises, and the hope is that those noises are transmitting to the team, because they've got to execute on the day and in the middle. So hopefully we can look with optimism to this tour of by Sri Lanka.
The unfortunate thing perhaps for Zimbabwe, Chris, will be the fact that they are up against Sri Lanka. Now would ordinarily be talking about a modest side in Sri Lanka, but Sri Lanka come into this series actually ranked as the number 4 side in world cricket behind India, New Zealand and Australia. So this is ahead of the likes of Pakistan, ahead of the likes of South Africa and even England. So they are a side that is bang on form. Mm. They are a side that have found their feet again in world cricket and will be looking to build on their recent good performances to have a series win against Zimbabwe.
Definitely not going to be a walk in the park. I think what was was promised to us by ZC is tougher competition, and we can clearly see, look,
we are getting it.
Sri Lanka's not a side that we can underestimate. I think in previous years, we would have taken a look and said, oh, Sri Lanka, you know, we can, you know, fancy our chances against them. But I think this is a very strong Sri Lanka side. Like you said, they're bang on form, and it's really going to test us. If we want to see where we are, this is another side that's going to test us. I think in the last sort of 3-4 months, we've seen what Zim Cricket can do with tough competition. Let's see what they can do against Sri Lanka. But again, this is not going to be a walk in the park.
Alright, 0772168045, would love to hear from you cricket fans, your thoughts on that squad. If you had your pick, who would be your starting 11 in that game? We've got a message that's come through from Zivanai Bobo out in Zebra Park. Good evening to you, Zivanai. And you have gone with Brian Bennett, Benjamin Curran, Brendan Taylor in at first drop, that's number 3, Sean Williams at 4, Craig Irvine at 5, Sikander Raza at 6, Jonathan Campbell at 7, and then you've got Wesley Madevere, Newman Nyamuri and Richard Ngarava, as well as Blessing Mozarabani. That looks like a decent side and a strong side on paper, isn't that?
Yeah, it sounds like a decent side. I think also what it shows is that there is quality in the selections that have been made for the squad. I think
is there form?
That's the question, see, Mike. I think that on paper, and I'm glad you said it's a good lineup.
I see
on
Wesley Madevere there, and listen, unfortunate to pick him as an example, but right. The truth is, Wesley has been given chance after chance, time and time again.
Yeah.
But we're yet to really see the consistency in big performances. Right. Occasionally he reminds us that he is a talented cricketer. Yeah. But we haven't seen him string together 5, 6, 7, or go on a purple patch.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't seen that.
He had a good series against Ireland. Unfortunately, straight after Ireland.
What is good, got into,
scoring in the... I think there was one innings he didn't convert. Mm-hmm. And then the other two he did to make 50s. So and was our best batter. So I think in that was a good series. But then unfortunately we then went into a Red Bull series, which didn't give an opportunity.
Is he better suited perhaps to this sort of game?
I think so. I think he's certainly one day international cricket. I'm not sure about T20. I don't think he's explosive enough. Certainly one day international cricket. I think he can.
Where you do have the leeway to build an innings.
You can build an innings, but a T20. I'm not sure if he's a master blaster. But again, the lineup looks good on paper, but you are so right. Do they have the form?
All right. Keep your messages coming in during the fan zone. We're going to be reading your messages. That WhatsApp number again, 0772-168-045. That's 0772-168-045. The game between Madagascar and Sudan. Deep into added time at the end of the second half. Madagascar down to 10 men. And they have a set piece.
Could this be...
Newcastle type. Yes. Glory. My goodness, where they could pull it out of the fire and leave Sudan with a bloody nose and embarrassment as they jostle in the box and the set piece comes in. Chaos in the box and it is pushed out wide. And it's a goal kick for Sudan. So plenty of thrills and spills in this game. Sudan, of course, with the numerical advantage. Bono. The delightfully named Bono.
Did you see the number three?
He's on the floor there and he's claiming that something has happened. I don't know if he's going to go out. As we watch the replay there, was there a foul in the box there or was just that a coming together?
It looked like a coming together. He was in the motion of striking the ball. The defender was trying to block and it looks like it was a coming together. Ref is not even taking a second look. He's done.
Yeah,
he says, right,
the full-time
let's go to extra time. We're done with this.
All right, let's give you the schedule for Sri Lanka's tour to Zimbabwe. 2 one-day internationals. The first game to be played on Friday, and then the second game will be played on a Sunday. Then 3 T20 internationals, Zimbabwe versus Sri Lanka. First T20 international next Wednesday, and then the second one next Saturday, back to back, because the third one will be the following day on Sunday. So plenty of international cricket that you can expect. And of course, these matches being played at Harare Sports Club. That is the place to be if you're a cricket fan and you want to back the boys. Coming up, we've got a local sports news roundup, and then we go international with our Formula One report, which is proudly brought to you by Zimoko.
Stay right where you are. Move to the groove of the nation. The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Started with some golf. Zimbabwean professional golfer Kieran Vincent continued with his fine form after he made the cut at the Sunbet Challenge hosted by Times Square at Wingate Park Country Club in Pretoria, South Africa this past weekend. Vincent has been taking part in the Sunshine Tour tournaments, and last week he also made it into the money zone for the Vodacom Origins of Golf. In swimming news, 30 member Zimbabwe's swimming team will represent the nation at the Africa Aquatic Zone 5 Championships. That's in Eswatini, and it'll be held early next month. Once renowned as a global swimming powerhouse, Zimbabwe continues to invest in its aquatic future after naming a predominantly young team. The youthful squad, composed mostly of swimmers under the age of 17, will challenge experienced seniors across the region in an intentional strategy aimed at nurturing Olympic-level athletes through early elite exposure. So, initial for news out of the Castellaga Premier Soccer League. According to reports, Caps United president Farai Jere gave his coaches a two-game ultimatum, starting with the match against FC Platinum to get their act together and start winning again or face dismissal. The Harare businessman was reportedly livid after the green machine crashed to a 2-1 defeat at the hands of Yada and slipped into relegation trouble. So I suppose putting a bit of fire under their bum worked, and they managed to sneak a win out of Mandela.
Absolutely. Clearly, they just needed that kick up the backside, as it were, and it worked. Let's see if it can be consistent, because yes, getting results is good, but are they bedding in some sort of a system that they can carry into next season? But listen, time in football is very limited.
We're turning up the beats.
I just need
your hit music station.
Let's go.
I'm no good at goodbye.
For hit music, it's Z. From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play. From sunny Melbourne to the streets of Monaco, the deserts of Bahrain to the jungles of Brazil, get up to speed on the Formula One Report. The Formula One Report is proudly brought to you by Zimoco, the home of F1 brands Mercedes-Benz and Alfa Romeo in Zimbabwe. Zimoco, specialized service for special brands.
For the week is the ZAS 2025 show at Harare Showgrounds until this Saturday. We encourage everyone to come and visit the Zimoco stand for information about our exciting and value-adding vehicle brands.
ZAS 2025 provides an excellent venue to exhibit agricultural support and commercial vehicles. If you own such machinery, especially a Mercedes-Benz or Fuso truck or bus, you understand that maintenance is crucial for your business. To avoid costly downtime and expensive repairs, professional maintenance is paramount.
Performing vehicles are an asset, operations and profitability. Modern commercial vehicles boast robust construction and streamlined repair processes to keep downtime short. This means your business stays on the road. Vehicles are crucial for any commercial business, so we strongly recommend professional fleet maintenance. Choose an outfit that understands your specific vehicles and knows exactly what downtime means for your bottom line. Stay tuned for more.
C.
Right, let's get into the news where Ferrari team principal Frederic Vasseur has admitted that he and Lewis Hamilton stupidly underestimated the challenge the seven-time world champion would face in joining the Italian squad. Reflecting on Hamilton's struggles ahead of the season's resumption with the Dutch Grand Prix this weekend, Vasseur said he and Lewis collectively underestimated the change of environment as there are question marks on whether Hamilton can salvage the rest of the season. Now, Formula One journalist Nate Saunders says he wouldn't be surprised if Lewis has a strong second half of the season.
I don't think Lewis is where we need him to be at the moment, or where Ferrari need him to be at the moment in terms of fans enjoying the sport. But Lewis, more than any other driver in the time I've covered racing, he's a moments guy a lot of the time. You know, look at Silverstone last year. A moment presents itself. He steps up. It's one of the things that I think it was always easy to overlook when he was at Mercedes, because everyone said, well, he has the best car, but he really, in those moments, he was able to really turn. And Max does the same thing. It's the hallmark of the great drivers. And I think that, yeah, I could definitely see Lewis coming to a place like Monza, or, you know, one of the races later in the year, and just like he did in China, just something clicking.
It's an interesting admission.
Hopefully.
But I think it's one that a lot of us have seen. And a lot of us agree with the fact that Lewis Hamilton is struggling. And for sentimental reasons, sometimes we don't want to call him out. But the truth is, he has underperformed. Even if you take into consideration the Scuderia struggles, Barry, Lewis Hamilton himself really hasn't managed to get going at an individual level.
And how we define that, look at what Charles Leclerc is doing, his teammate. He's managing to get something out of that car, squeeze something out of it. Lewis Hamilton, we knew, would be able to squeeze something out of any car. So he hasn't performed well at all. And we have seen now the importance of matching a car with a driver. I don't think they've done enough to match this car with Lewis Hamilton.
And now Hamilton will go into this weekend's Dutch Grand Prix at Zandvoort without having scored a Grand Prix podium in his first 14 outings for Ferrari.
Ouch.
Now, his longest streak without a podium to start a season he had previously experienced was 9, which happened when he was at McLaren in 2009 and at Mercedes last year. In each of his 16 other Formula One campaigns, he had made it onto the podium by the third round of the season. The uncomfortable question, the elephant in the room.
Very.
Up here, Adam.
Ish. It's such a tough one. And it's a hard one for us to say. And it happens for everyone. With all athletes, I think, regardless of who this person is, Lewis Hamilton is getting on in age. The vehicle, he is unable to get something out of it. And like you said, his teammate can. So is it that they just haven't, you know, done enough to suit the vehicle to him? Or is he just failing at Ferrari, which is something really strange and sad to say about Lewis Hamilton? But I think we're seeing now the, you know how Djokovic is trying to go after that 25th. He is trying to get that elusive 8th. Was it 9th? 8th. And it's more diminishing returns now than anything else. And it's such a strange and tough conversation. But look, I think we've seen the best of Lewis Hamilton by this point, and we're possibly seeing the last of his racing days.
So, Barry, as we wrap this up, what would make a reasonable success for Lewis Hamilton in the second half of the season? Do we even just stop talking about winning races?
Let's stop that. Podium finishes.
Podium finish and
points, scoring points. Getting in and around the higher points mark, top five finishes, podium here and there. I think that'll be a good return for Lewis Hamilton, and see where he ends up at the end of the season. All right, so now Zimoco offers a commercial vehicle workshop that has modern equipment, knowledgeable staff, and factory-approved parts to keep your fleet moving and your business growing. Don't waste time and get the right advice and the correct fleet service solutions the first time. Contact Zimoco on inquiries at zimoco.co.zw and get the right fleet advice every time.
If you need information fast, come by the Zimoco ZAS stand for conversations and engagements with the professionals. Zimoco is your right solution for passenger and commercial vehicles. And to make ZAS Bus 2025 Suiter, we have the Fuso Rosa Bus on promotion for just 103,000. The right 25-seater bus for your staff or school.
Now, 4-year warranty, 5-year finance options, and unbeatable Japanese reliability. The Fuso Rosa is made for you, but only while stocks last. Zimoko, specialized service for special brands.
The Formula One Report is proudly brought to you by Zimoko, the home of F1 brands Mercedes-Benz and Alfa Romeo in Zimbabwe. Zimoko, specialized service for special brands.
Hi, you're listening to ZFM Sport. My name's Graham Sharp, and I'm the first Zimbabwean to take on the Dakar Rally in a bike.
Z. Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
Sydney, where Australia lock Will Skelton is returning to France to rejoin club La Rochelle before the start of the top 14 season in a blow for the Wallabies Rugby Championship hopes. In news from Nairobi, Ferdinand Omanyala, who holds the Africa 100-meter record, is injured and has pulled out of this week's Diamond League final in Zurich, the last event before the Tokyo Championships. In California, U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley has said some of members of his team told him they want to be a playing captain. He also said that there's probably going to be a few guys that think they're going to be on the team that aren't going to be. Adding phone calls to them will be awful. And in New York, where we touched down, teenager Victoria Mboko was thrashed 6-3, 6-2 by former Wimbledon champion Barbara Krejcikova in the first round of the US Open on a night where Australian Open champion Madison Keys also crashed out.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
0772168045. Your messages have been coming in. Let's go. Some Formula One messages here. And this one is from Toby Palekchive, a regular contributor. And what I love about Toby, he goes in early, and he says, "Hi, guys. Also, Hamilton Vapera kuona kwangu. Chava churu chakapinda nyoka. Just like my beloved Man United. Guys, I think I now concur with Barry that Amorim maybe is not good enough to pull United out from the mud." So, two issues there, but ostensibly the same. Hamilton unable to pull Ferrari out of the mud. Amorim unable to pull United out of the mud.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Not the right guy.
Yeah, not the right guy on both sides. I think Lewis, he needs one more season. Just one more season of JJ Okocha at Bolton type thing. Mm. If he can get that, you never know.
Mm. Okay, let's see. Arthur has got in touch out in the United Kingdom. Good evening, Arthur. You say, "I think Hamilton has done what he was supposed to do. He was a marketing gimmick." Still don't understand why Ferrari got Hamilton.
He was
a marketing gimmick. Lewis Hamilton. No.
They wanted him to perform.
They wanted to perform.
But I think it was trying to squeeze the last race.
Right, I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Ooh, yes. Tell us.
I think Hamilton was onboarded by Ferrari to make sure that he doesn't break Michael Schumacher's record.
So they're intentionally sabotaging him. That's why they won't adjust the car.
He's not being sabotaged. He's
but they're not going to necessarily help him along the way.
They're not going to help him along the way.
Yeah, that's sabotage. That's exactly what sabotage is.
I think, that's me and my conspiracy theories.
Yeah, no, it's
a good conspiracy.
It's plausible.
It's a good one.
Yeah, but to be fair, also to Ferrari, it's not like he was pulling up trees.
At Mercedes anyway.
So, that's just a conspiracy theory. Just want to spice things up. Right. Hi, guys. Humphrey, stingy Chevron supporter. opening the batting for Zim, Brian Bennett, Brandon Taylor, Sean Williams, Craig Irvine, Wesley Madevere, Sikanda Raza, Richard Ngarava, Blessing Mzarabani, Ernest Masuku, Clive Madande, and the Anzi. Thanks. And by the way, Liverpool won. Well, we're celebrating Liverpool victory with you. So he's gone again with a bit of a variation in the starting 11 there for Zimbabwe. So I'd love to see a decent crowd at Harare Sports Club to give the boys a lift. Yeah, I know, listen, it can't be easy going to back a team that has been losing as much as Zimbabwe cricket, but I think it's our team.
Zimbabwe
is the only one we got. We don't have like a selection of three or four national teams that we can choose from. So let's go and support the boys, and hopefully the boys respond to the support that they will get from the fans.
We've seen it before, actually, where the team almost feeds off that energy and we get those incredible bursts and we're able to get some good wins. So, crossing fingers.
All right, Bobby from Sunday City says, Zanzi, is it possible that we can have varsity rugby, varsity soccer and cricket, considering we all have turn universities in each province? Most of these universities teach high performance or sports science. Practical yacho vanongo itira pama team. I think I mentioned this, was it last week in conversation, where we're saying that we need to have that because we got the tertiary institutions.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
So we should be looking to actively set up a varsity league. Not just having these Zusa games where they come together once a year for a bit of fun and a bit of a jaw, song and dance. No, we should be having these universities competing at all year round in different disciplines.
100%. And a varsity league, I think where we get it wrong is that we think if we have a varsity league, we should then get, let's say in football terms, we should get 8 out of 11 players from the varsity league who are able to play at elite level. No. If we manage to develop 2 that come out of it, great. So the bottom line is we need to have those varsity.
Al from Maputo says, Lewis Hana Kupera, Ferrari Inopeza Munu, Vudai Vessel. Lewis not done, someone else concurs. And Ferrari should give him the machinery to do what he knows. That Keda ain't done. Okay, that's interesting. We'll see.
That Keda.
The results say otherwise.
Yeah. Evening team, women's tennis is losing its luster seen in yesteryears. There were tennis greats who attracted eyeballs such as Steffi Graf, Martina Hingis, Martina Navratilova, etc. But after Serena, there are no longer any women gripping our attention. They came and they come and they flutter to deceive. I agree. Totally agree. No stars in the women's game. No personalities.
No, but also I think there's a generation that we will not replicate in tennis. And let's just accept that across the board.
No, but it's not a generation, Chris.
It is. It's that generation of tennis players.
You just mentioned 3 generations.
Okay.
Steffi, in fact, 4 generations. Martina Navratilova, Steffi Graf, Martina Hingis, Serena Williams.
Okay.
That's 4 where we knew there were stars and there were rivalries and so forth.
And they were dominant. And that's
look at this. What's there now?
No. I'm not saying there's anything now. I'm adding to say that the dominance is what's missing. So they come in and they win a couple of Grand Slams. And then they peter off.
Yeah.
And so what we had gotten used to with those stars was they would, you know, possibly do an entire year of just winning all the Grand Slams. So that dominance is missing. And you're not going to build up the star factor, regardless of your personality, if you're not winning. And that's what we're not getting, unfortunately.
And I see where you're getting it, but I also disagree. Because these guys, it was not just one star per generation.
Yeah.
There were multiple stars that were competing and were all dominant for long periods. So you had not just one star of that, but they were competing. There were people who would come in and they would win. Martina Hingis would win, dominate for a season. This one would come in this year and so forth. But they were competing over several years.
But even
I've
in
not
a,
seen that.
Exactly. Mm. Even in a season now, we're not going to get someone who wins 3 slams in a row. When was the last time we had a woman who won 3 slams in a row? We're not even getting that.
We thought we'd get a rivalry between Sabalenka and Swiatek, but I think there's a lot of inconsistency that is plaguing the women's game, and it's causing it to become like a vanilla competition where you wait for the final and say, and it's done.
Yeah.
At least the men's game now is beginning to pick up.
Sinner Alcaraz.
Because now there's a rivalry that's building up between Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner.
Mm.
Those two are looking like they're standout players.
For sure.
And that is what we saw back. Remember the days of Pete Sampras versus Jim Courier?
Jim Courier.
Yeah, we always knew that there would be something in there. Then we saw Roger Federer come come onto the scene, Roger versus Nadal.
Yeah.
And then they were joined by Djokovic. And then even Andy Murray.
Andy Murray snuck in there.
Yeah. And people don't respect Andy Murray enough. I think Andy Murray, what is it, 3 Grand Slams, 4 Grand Slams, several finals against the best tennis players we've ever seen in the men's game.
Yes.
People don't give him enough respect, but that's what we want to see. We want to see, like, the big personalities. And I feel like these ones here, 1 minute we're talking up this player.
Mboko, and then.
As off topic, Gabriela Sabatini, she was such a looker. I agree with you there,
Martina. I can't argue there. Yo, but there's something about Martina Hingis that's just something.
All right. Savvy Boy, the Omo in Jombe. Empress Aswai Warriors coach Michael Nice hasn't released the national squad yet. Is it true that he will release the squad list on Thursday? And how far true is that Scotland has captured the national squad selection? I don't know. You know what? I think people love to speculate about Scotland simply because they're just buying the best players.
And they're now buying national team players that are already national team players.
Yeah. So they'll
get selected.
Yeah. And then also about the squad. Yeah. There are some teams that will announce a provisional squad. But in truth, what does it change, though?
It doesn't give you an advantage.
It doesn't give you an advantage.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything. You announce the squad on Thursday because the FIFA window opens on Monday.
If anything, announcing your squad early has the potential to actually derail your plans. Why? Because your players you've selected may get injured on Wednesday, midweek games and all sorts. I know Wolves is in action against West Ham tonight in the Carabao. So you'd rather wait.
Absolutely right. Let's wrap it up with another message. Yanzi Denver Mukamba, Yanzi Gasi Katsika Kake Kukutikana Mamuma players Abba Kuno celebrate a crowd Io Zokera Ega Tunozona Segunga Arguno Chakamari. How does his teammate feel from JZ in Kuwazana?
Yes, that's what he's doing.
Lock it. CFM Stereo is untouchable. The beating drum. The roaring fans. Take a ride on the wild side with the Africa Report on CFM Sport.
All right, so let's go to Chan, where we are in the first period of extra time in that match between Madagascar and Sudan. I say it like it's just a match. No, it's actually a semi-final between Madagascar and Sudan. It's currently nil-all, or still nil-all, and we have played 109 minutes in the first period of extra time. Madagascar giving as good as they're getting from Sudan, albeit that they are down to 10 men. We'll keep you appraised as to how that game is going. Tonight's other semi-final is between Morocco and Senegal. Now, they'll battle it out at the Mandela Stadium in Kampala, Uganda, in the second semi-final.
Nambole.
In Nambole. Nambole.
Yeah. Is that your favorite stadium?
No. It's a very nice stadium. Not nice in the sense of nice, but it's exactly like our national sports stadium. And it was just refurbished and sorted out, and they've done a great job there. But it's actually a national sports stadium just in terms of the actual structure.
The superstructure.
It looks the same from outside.
Yeah.
It looks like it's probably built by the Chinese too.
There we go. Now, this is
Darong, let me tell you something. Darong 18. I remember during that time, Jugan's, what's up? I'm not going to invite Ukuram Warren Park.
Shucks. We know those stories. Stray dogs gone.
We were little nippers.
No, man.
Anyway, the match between Morocco and Senegal is highly anticipated, but this is two strong African football nations, with Morocco aiming for their third consecutive CHAN title and Senegal vying for a second consecutive title. So they are going for a third title and second title, respectively. They've won it before, and so this makes this probably the pick of the semi-finals, definitely. And likelihood, the champions, unless barring an upset, likely the champion may come out of this semi-final.
Yeah, definitely. I think just the quality in that semi-final and underlines itself. And we're going to see two sides that are definitely going to battle it out to the very last blade just to get into that final. I think it's almost an even matchup, so it's going to be a very good game.
Has it sort of been level pegging in these semifinals? I'll stay with you, Chris. In these semifinals, because you've got Madagascar and Sudan, who haven't won it before, and it looks like they're going the distance.
Yeah.
And then you've got Morocco and Senegal, former champions, almost again evenly matched.
You've got underdogs and favourites playing each other to battle it out before the final. So it's a nice balance for the semifinal, but I don't know about that final. Might be one-way traffic a little bit.
African football has come up in leaps and bounds, Mike, but I heard you remark that it's a tragedy that all of the hosts were knocked out in the quarterfinals, and now stadium attendances are suffering.
Yeah, they're suffering. Just a very sparse crowd that we're looking at right now in this game between Madagascar and Sudan. Hopefully that the other game will have a bigger crowd. Mm. The neutrals, if they're keen on watching some really good football between Morocco and Senegal, I think contrasting styles as well always make for a spectacle, especially for students of the game, from just a tactical perspective, how the two teams are going to approach the game. But let's also take note that if any one of these two teams here is capable of going all the way
and winning it.
Sudan and Madagascar. Why I say that is, let's not forget that if you take a look at Tanzania, for example, they beat Morocco.
Morocco,
They were vanquished by one of these sides.
Yeah,
so it shows you that these sides are not actually playing at a low level. They're capable of giving whoever gets to the final a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout victory for whoever gets to the final. I think it's going to be a very competitive game. Madagascar, we're seeing them here, Barry, actually fashioning out chances even with 10 men. They're fashioning out chances, and also they're defending valiantly.
Good organization.
They are as fit as butcher's dogs, these Malagasy guys, and I think that is also an area where we fall short. I just want to bring the discussion back home to Zimbabwe. We don't have athletes.
We don't.
People, we are too fixated with Anshino Gonabora.
Yeah.
And guys, athleticism is key.
Strong,
height,
be strong.
Very important.
Strength. Yeah. Those things are absolutely critical in sports.
Yeah.
And we got to start thinking like that, because these Malagasy guys, you can tell they're small, but what they've done is they've made sure that they're fit. And they are quick.
They're strong.
They're very strong.
And can hold off an opponent. So, we'll see how the semi-final between Morocco and Senegal goes. This one is currently nil-all, 114 minutes played in the first period of extra time. The Ugandans at the Mandela Stadium in Nambole may show up, because remember, you were there for a neutral game, Cameroon versus Zimbabwe, and they showed up in numbers.
Yeah, they showed up in numbers. What a crowd in that game. And the Warriors came alive. You know, a lot of people forget that we dominated the game. Uganda versus Cameroon. Could have won it later on. I think if Douglas Mapumo had his shooting boots on,
he'd been
a bit more clinical. Had that been a Knowledge Musona in that position, because this was before Knowledge got into the national team, we could have actually walked away with all 3 points versus Cameroon in that game. It was a brilliant performance by the Warriors. I remember Andy Rinomota.
He was a beast.
He was a
monster.
He wowed. I mean, people talk about Baleba now. Come on, United, get Andy Rinomota.
Yes.
He outplayed Baleba in that game. So that was a phenomenal game there. They love their football in Uganda. And I'm hoping that there'll be a bigger crowd. I suspect there'll be. Because, it's a sparse game.
It's very.
The CAF officials and a couple of the match officials on the touchline.
All right, let's talk some Liverpool.
All the rivalry.
Goal for Liverpool early on Derby Day.
All the stars.
There goes Haaland. He's on his way again.
game-changing moment.
Can he find a way through? You bet he can. That is top, top class.
All the updates from the Premier League on ZFM Sport.
Madagascar!
Yes.
At the death!
Yes! Yes!
Go on, you Malagasy! Oh!
No way! What a Cinderella story!
No way! Wow! Wow!
Just
with
when
5 minutes to play in the second period of extra time.
Valiant defending swept down the pitch, the other end, floated the cross to the far post, nodded in. Sudan doesn't know what's hit them. And of course, the usual crew from the embassy are in the crowd. They're lapping it up as the scorer there, number 20, with a name too long to pronounce, salutes the crowd. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. There we go. Play football. Good football.
To the back post.
That's
bang.
This team.
My days, this team. Oh, what a team. Reminds me of Liverpool.
Oh, yes. He cushioned it. With his knee.
With his knee. At the back stick. Done. Thanks. He shinned it. He actually shinned it.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks
and now
for coming.
They just have 5 minutes to defend. Yeah.
Shucks.
Sudan has got 5 minutes to get back.
They could get a second.
Game, yeah. No, they can't. They couldn't get a second, Michael. Arne Slot praised this team. He says that tactics has very little to do with this, Chris. It was just heart, and his team delivered. Hard to argue with the man.
Yeah, definitely. I think when you're just taking a look at grit in the final moments, that third goal is scored. This is a Liverpool side that did not give up until that very last minute, and that's going to take some doing, especially after you've kind of come undone in the middle there.
Yeah.
So really great comeback win for Liverpool, and great match to watch as well.
A phenomenal match to watch, Michael. You need to start a church. I think that's my recommendation. Because yesterday you said that it would be a physical approach from Newcastle. There would be a red card in it. There was a red card. Anthony Gordon sent off in that first half. And then you talked about the fact the scoreline would be 3-1 in favour of Liverpool. That's the only thing you got wrong.
Yeah.
That Newcastle scored two.
Yeah, not so much a prediction, Barry, but I think...
A prophecy?
It wasn't too difficult to read the tea leaves yesterday. And why I say that is because over the last 2-3 weeks, the sentiment has been ratcheted up. The tension was ratcheted up by the media, by social media. And in truth, all Liverpool did, I remember I called you last night and I think I said this to you, all Liverpool did was approach Newcastle, put a record British transfer bid on the table.
Yeah.
It was turned down. And Liverpool walked away.
Walked away, is it? Okay.
Everything that's unfolded after that is really no fault of Liverpool's. And people talk about Liverpool disrespecting Newcastle. How do you disrespect by putting a record transfer bid on the table?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. So it was obvious for me.
I would like to be disrespected like that.
There was always going to be a lot of emotion on the Newcastle side. And we saw how that game started.
Yes.
They were running. They were into it. Joe Linton, Bruno Guimaraes.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they were always going to make a mistake. It was always going to be about the side that was able to keep their emotions in check.
Yes.
Liverpool did that excellently yesterday. They managed their emotions. They didn't allow themselves to be sucked into the hurly-burly that Newcastle wanted to turn that game into. And even ultimately when Newcastle went back to 2-2, Liverpool kept their poise. And that was one of the best team goals I've seen over the last few seasons.
100%.
Brilliantly well-worked goal. And for a 16-year-old to finish it,
Wow. And I think a dummy should be counted as an assist because that dummy by Soboslai just made
that. What a game he had.
What a game
he
had. And right back. Come on. Come on, Dom. Do the things. Now, Newcastle is being disrespectful themselves because they've had a £50 million bid for striker Jürgen Strand Larsen rejected by Wolves. Eddie Howe's side could yet return with an improved offer as they're in the market for a centre forward after Callum Wilson left last month when his contract expired. And of course, Alexander Isak is in the cold at Newcastle.
And if Liverpool ever thought there was still some hope for Newcastle to sell Isak to them, yesterday was the last nail
in the coffin. Javaran.
I don't think Liverpool is particularly desperate. Look at the guy who scored yesterday.
Yes. Yeah.
Ekitike. Yes. He is just as good as Isak. Yeah.
Three
Liverpool
goals and two.
Are looking to build is depth.
Yeah.
They realize that they want to compete not just for the Premier League, they want to compete in Europe, and you need that sort of depth to compete. And Barry, I think we can go through the dying embers of this game. The news team won't begrudge us this, because the listeners would love to hear this fairy tale story of Madagascar. And it's one last attack, I feel, for how many minutes added there?
1 minute added.
1 minute. It looks like there will be a corner for Sudan. This could be the last piece of action.
This is the last piece of action, and Sudan needs to send a quality delivery. All the big men have come forward. Their centre halves are up.
You might as well send the goalkeeper here.
I'm surprised the goalkeeper hasn't come up, because in truth, this is their last chance to stay in the tournament, get themselves into a final. Well, get themselves into extra, into penalties, firstly. Win a penalty shootout and get themselves into a final. So you might as well send your goalkeeper up. All the white shirts are in that Malagasy box. The referee's trying to tidy it up, but it's going to be tough to do, because the Malagasy want to defend this stoutly. The corner kick coming from the right-hand side. It's going to be an outswinger because it looks like a right footer who's going to take this corner kick, as the referee tries to clean everything up, make sure that it's all kosher. It comes into the box. It's defended brilliantly. Gets a second bite of the cherry.
Wow. Skins his man. Ooh. Sends in a cross. It's headed away. Ah. They attack. Oh.
Why did the keeper come? Why did the keeper come?
Another corner kick, is it?
Another corner kick. Yeah.
Another corner kick.
The ball was flighted into the box. The keeper could have come and collected it, and I'm sure the referee would have blown.
The ref is enjoying this. He's added a few more seconds as another outswinger comes. It comes. It's headed. Across. Ooh. Chaos. Oh my goodness. Could be anyone's ball.
Chaos. It's and, still in the box.
They defend and they sweep across.
And the referee.
And
blows.
They win. They win.
Madagascar.
In the final.
In the Malagasy final. In the final. And in truth, at this rate, they might as well go all the way. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow for Wacky Wednesday. Don't miss it. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Menandi, out.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Bundled, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z-Team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.